The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Well, the World Economic Forum has finally admitted what we've been saying here on the show. The U.S. dollar is about to change forever. That's right. We knew that CBDCs were rolling out central bank digital currencies, but this week we heard directly from Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum that, in fact, 98% of central banks are preparing to launch CBDCs. Again, this right from the mouth of the World Economic Forum. After all, this is their plan. They wanted to take away control of the monetary system, get it out of the hands of individual sovereign governments, individuals, and put it in the hands of Wall Street and sort of and larger banks. Now, when you have to understand the central bank structure in the United States, it's controlled by Wall Street. This is the goal, is to allow those big multinationals to control the money supply, get it out of the hands of the U.S. Treasury. Take that power away from Janet Yellen and the U.S. Treasury. Take it away from individual governments. Put it in the hands of a few massively large banks. And this all comes on the same week that we also saw more bank collapses in the United States, more seizures of banks, and massive amounts of U.S. deposits drying up in banks. See how this happens? All of these smaller banks get gobbled up by the big guys. So the J.P. Morgans, you have the Wells Fargos, Bank of America, you have Deutsche Bank, and these few massive large banks control the entire process. So let's go through what the World Economic Forum is saying here, which is startling, but we knew this was coming. So get ready, guys, to have like no cash anymore. Get ready to have a digital ID, a digital wallet that will control everything. Now, I know some of you might be saying, that's fake news. Well, frankly, you don't know what you're talking about. I've been studying and tracking this for a very long time. I point you to my deep dive interviews here with Whitney Webb, who's one of the foremost authorities on tracking all of the structure of these CBDCs. And it's startling. The control is coming, guys. I mean, think about their ability to track everything you're doing through a digital ID on your phone. Okay. They'll be able to watch your carbon footprint. Oh, you've traveled too much this month. So no, you are not allowed to buy gasoline anymore for this month until the calendar resets for the month because you've driven to see grandma too many times, or you've been on the road too much, or you've flown too much, or you've bought too much meat, right? This is the ridiculousness that we're currently facing right now, but they'll be able to track every transaction. And of course, they want everything then tied to the blockchain. This is the tokenization of every asset, farmland, everything in the United States. So they will be controlling everything and watching everything. It is coming. This is the dream. Now, they've already rolled this out in Ukraine. You remember Ukraine is really a testing ground for a lot of this. They rolled this out using what's known as the DIA app. Okay, DIA was an app that was built by USAID, USAID, and the United States government, and of course, with the help of the World Economic Forum, to put this into a testbed process where everything can pay right with your phone in Ukraine, track everything. You can even rat on your neighbors. That's right, built inside the application. This is like 1984 level stuff here, guys. And we don't know how all of this is going to come together, but we do know the goal. The goal is total control. The goal is to get rid of cash. The goal is to make sure that every transaction is monitored and controlled through a central system that is all digital. So the organization that argues that wholesale CBDCs, which are restricted to large transactions between financial institutions, could address banking industry challenges related to interbank payments and securities transactions. So according to the World Economic Forum, they say that CBDCs are poised to improve our cross-border transactions. Of course, that's how they're pitching it, right? That, oh, you know, the amount of time that it takes for wires to happen, there's like, and I agree with this. I will agree that the process of sending wires right now is a disaster. You know, it's like 7 or 8 different steps to confirm you're sending a transaction, then it's sending an information back, then it's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So cross-border transactions should be dramatically improved. But is this the answer, where we remove cash and we put it instead in the control of central banks so that we don't have a physical representation of currency anymore. We simply have a digital representation of some sort of an international world currency. The organization, the WEF, acknowledges, however, that the legal and the regulatory elements needed to make widespread CBDCs possible have an unknown time frame. So again, 98% of central banks are preparing to launch this, but you have certain states in the United States which are pushing back against this. I mean, you have Florida, for instance, saying no CBDCs, and you're going to have other countries that are going to say no to this. So I think we're really heading for an interesting moment right now with our monetary policy and entering this next phase. But we've been warning you it's coming. And here we have the World Economic Forum saying 98% are preparing to launch CBDCs. All right, today's your Q&A episode where you guys are able to go to our website, morrisinvest.com, and ask us a question, whether it's about real estate investing, whether it's about the economy, whether it's about taxes, and we will try to answer them here on the show. So let's take a few of your questions today. Here's one from James.
I understand that the money grows tax-free in this type of vehicle, but what happens after when you're 59 and a half and you want to take out distributions? Are the distributions taxed at the tax bracket that you're at, or is the actual money not taxed at all?
Okay, thanks so much for that. You're asking about a self-directed account. And of course, it really depends on your structure, whether it's a Roth or traditional. How did you structure it in the first place? Of course, if it's going to grow tax-free, then you've set it up a certain way, right? So that when you pull it out at retirement, then you're not paying any taxes on that money. And I point you to just an interview that we just did with Matt Sorensen, who's an attorney. And we just did a whole live stream about this very question. And we talked about retirement. You know, we talked about the retirement age and like, does it make sense to even have a self-directed account after retirement? And he says, absolutely it does. And he goes into great length to explain why it's such a powerful vehicle even after retirement. So I encourage and point you to that. But yeah, if you've set it up as a tax-free model, right, with the self-directed account, then of course, you're not going to pay taxes when you take it out. So those distributions, you will not pay taxes. But if you haven't set it up that way and you've set it up the opposite way, then of course, you will pay taxes on that money based on the tax bracket that you are. It's the same way with a 401k, right? That's why I always point out like the 401k. You know, we want to, my goal, at least with the 401k, the idea was, well, I'm going to retire. You know, I'm going to take these distributions later and they're going to be taxed, you know, they're going to be tax deferred. That's the thing you always hear about with 401ks, right? It's going to be tax deferred. Great. So the idea is for me, when I retire, I want to be in the highest possible tax bracket. You know, I want to be wealthy. I want to be doing well. That means that if it's deferred till I'm super wealthy, now I'm going to pay more. So that's the, you know, great canard, of course, about 401k plans. Now, if you structure a self-directed retirement account properly, where you're putting in, of course, post-tax dollars, then you can take that out. It can grow tax-free. All the rent coming into that account, all of the appreciation, all of the assets in there. And then when you want to take distributions later, they're going to be tax-free. But again, I point you to the episode we just did with Matt Sorensen here on the channel. Again, it was a live stream. We had a lot of great questions from our audience. So go check out that video. We'll have it linked up in the description below. Thank you, James.
Hi, Clayton. I just discovered your YouTube channel and I was really excited to start to see some of your work and also look forward to reading your book. I have a question that's been kind of hovering over us. We purchased a home and part of the loan that we took out was for a different property that we had, which is now a rental property. So we took out a HELOC loan of $150,000. And now it's been 3 years and it feels like it's just never going down. Wanted to know your advice on how we can get this HELOC loan paid quicker and then what we've been doing, and can we get out of it and do something different, a different type of loan that may help us? It is a variable rate, so we've been suffering from the continual increases that continue to happen over the last 3 years. Appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate the question. So yeah, variable interest rate, you're dealing with that. So the fluctuations up or down with interest rates, yeah, that's got to be a pain. I can't really answer your question because I don't know how much exactly you're paying, you know, and what is your strategy right now? So to increase that, of course, you know, can you, are you using that as part of a rental property structure so that the income coming in from a tenant is going to pay that down? I really don't have the answer for you on that, but to answer your question on, can you get some sort of another vehicle? Yes. And I would reach out to my friend Dan Krause at Churchill Mortgage and see if there's a way that he could restructure that or even move it over to a different type with maybe a fixed rate, if that's possible, based on your situation, to kind of lock you in so you're not dealing with this variability issue right now. And maybe you can't. Maybe you've got to deal with the variability, but then at least you can, I would say, continue to deal with making your payments so you're making a big chunk out of that payment every month, you know, by adjusting your own payments based on the variability of the rate. So if it goes up by a percent, maybe you want to increase your payments by a percent, you know, to try to keep it going in that direction. I've honestly never had a variable rate mortgage, so I can't speak to the strategy on that. I will say, though, that you're going to, if you're just paying the bare minimum, you're never really going to get out from under this thing. And I would definitely try to increase or pretend like you're not even making income. If you've got tenants paying rent on a property that you're making income on, just use that full rent and really fire it at the principal balance of this particular home equity loan. But again, reach out to my friend Dan Krause over at Churchill Mortgage. He does home equity lines of credit. He can even look at maybe doing some sort of a restructuring of that loan for you to make it more agreeable for you. We'll have a link to Dan's information in the comments below. So thank you for that. All right, next question.
Hey, how you doing? Morris, this is Richard from Israel. Ashkelon, Israel. I just got a quick question. I've heard for years about the national debt. America is $34 trillion. Who is the money owed to? That's something I never understood. When you say the national debt is $34 trillion, who is the money supposed to go to? And then, you know, the interest and everything, okay, but I've never understood who is the $34 trillion owed to?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I love that you're asking that question, and it's something that no one really talks about. A large portion of that money is owed to China. Yes, they own that debt. So China owns a large portion of that debt through treasuries and other means. So we borrow from China in order to, what's amazing to me is that, you know, we're borrowing from China, not all of it, but a large portion of it, in order to build up like our military strength and other things against China. Think about that for a second, right? We're borrowing money from China in order to ramp up our presence in the South China Sea, build military bases on Japanese islands, in the Philippines, et cetera. Sending billions. We just sent billions to Taiwan last week. I mean, we're borrowing, you know, Peter to pay Paul, right? We're robbing Peter to pay Paul, whatever the phrase is, right? So a large portion of our debt, yes, is owned by China. And of course, they've actually been dumping a lot of these securities, a lot of these bonds right now in order to buy gold. So dumping a huge amount of American debt because we use it in many ways. We use obviously treasuries. We use the US dollar as a cudgel, you know, as a weapon. And so obviously the Russia and China over the past week solidifying a pact and an agreement now to move away fully from the US dollar. You know, there are two kinds of national debt, right? You need to understand this. There's the intergovernmental and then there's the public. So the intergovernmental debt is really held by the Federal Reserve. It has monies in social securities as well. And then other government agencies also hold some of that debt. But public debt is held by banks. It's held by foreign governments. It's held by institutions. So yes, a good percentage of it is held by foreign governments like China. But another huge chunk of it, and probably a much larger chunk of it, is held by large banks. That's why we're controlled by these massive banks. We're controlled by JP Morgan. We're controlled by Chase. We're controlled by all of these guys. That's because they own so much of the US debt. And so this is why we're moving towards a central bank digital currency. This is why we're moving to control where they control, you know, the assets. They control everything. And also you're going to start to see a lot more of us trying to hide this debt inside of cryptocurrencies. This is why in other countries right now, we're trying to bury U.S. debt inside of like basically blockchain transactions. I've just did a whole interview on this specific thing. I didn't know anything about it, but a lot of these countries using Bitcoin and crypto right now as their main financial structure in El Salvador and others, you're able to put U.S. debt tied to the U.S. dollar through USDC. So these stable coins, we're able to basically, in some ways now, it's like a new way of using the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. We're basically able to say to these other countries now, hey, the stable coins that you're using, it's tied to the U.S. dollar. And this is an end around this whole process of people ditching the U.S. currency, U.S. dollar, you know, paper dollars in favor of like a USDC, a digital version of the US dollar through crypto and the blockchain. It's really fascinating structure how we're now trying to cram this debt inside of these stable coins. So you're going to see a lot of that. But to answer your question, I know that was a long way of saying, yeah, China and a lot of these big banks own a lot of US debt, which is something, how in the world are we ever going to pay it back? We're not. One way that you can try to reduce it in some ways is to devalue the US currency. Devalue the way that we know the dollar right now, move towards a central bank digital currency, move towards a digital infrastructure and away from the way that we understand the US dollar currently. And that's one way that they're hoping to sort of mitigate this bloodbath right now. But like the other day, my daughter was standing here in my studio and we have a big national debt clock here in the studio and it shows 34th trillion. And my daughter said, "What is that?" And we explained to her that that's what, you know, the money that she's going to be indebted to for the future, you know, and she's like, "Well, stop it. Can they just stop it?" She's like, "I can't believe it just keeps going up. I can't even see the numbers. They're going so fast. Can they just stop it?" Said, well, that'd be nice, right? Wouldn't it be nice if they stopped that? But they're not. Thank you guys for your questions. You can go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com right now, and you can book a call with our team if you'd like more information about investing in real estate. That's what our team does. Just click on the book a call button right there in the middle of the screen. And we will jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes and talk you through the process of how to buy brand new construction real estate in the best real estate markets in the United States. Until next time, everyone, have a great one.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.